Welcome to the Seattle Astronomy Podcast, conversations about the cosmos with an emphasis on space and astronomy news of interest to amateur astronomy enthusiasts. I'm Greg Scheiderer, your host. I'm also the writer of the Seattle Astronomy blog at seattleastronomy.com. Mention Wisconsin to many folks, and the first things that come to mind might be cheese, bratwurst, or the Green Bay Packers. I'd like to add astronomy to that list. There are many great opportunities for stargazers in the Badger State. During a recent family reunion visit to Wisconsin, I took a side trip to the Milwaukee Public Museum and spoke with the director of the planetarium there, Bob Bonneter.
Our planetarium is called the Daniel M. Soroff Planetarium, and we do two types of shows. One's a live stargazing show, simply Wisconsin stargazing, about a 25-minute live tour of the night sky, what people should go out and look for. And the second is a program, a movie, that we either made ourselves here, and we make a lot of original planetarium productions, or one that we purchased from another planetarium. For example, right now we're running a show called Did an Asteroid Really Kill the Dinosaurs? And we produced that. We wrote it and put it up on the dome, and that's because we had a big dinosaur exhibit. And a lot of people know about that asteroid, but they're not quite sure if it really did in the dinosaurs. So we look at the history, explain it, answer the question for them. And of course, the question is yes, but for now, which is the core of science. Science is always changing. New evidence could come along. A lot of debate about volcanic eruptions possibly contributing to the death of the dinosaurs and so on. So science always changes with new evidence, and we point that out at the end of the show.
It's great to have the resource to be able to create that and possibly link it up with other exhibits that are going on.
Yeah, we are. We're a full big museum. We're a natural history museum. We have a geologist on staff who actually did a lot of research out in Montana on the KPG boundary, which I was updated on. I always thought it was the KT boundary, that impact layer 66 million years ago. PG stands for Paleogene, which is updated from the former tertiary period in geology history. So he was great to work with, and that's part of what we featured in the show.
It sounds like your planetarium and theater are really like top-notch, the latest technology.
Well, we are, and that's, in fact, this September 2016, we are going to upgrade the video projectors in the planetarium. So they'll be just like your home TV set. They'll be brighter and better resolution. And with the astronomy software, we'll be able to do much more, take the audience on much more engaging trips throughout the cosmos.
According, read on the website that you've got not only the planetarium, but the big screen and the 3D. Is that common to have all those in one facility?
It's not too common. A lot of planetariums stand alone, their own theater. Our planetarium is part of the big dome theater. So we have planetarium shows as part of it. We have 3D shows from different projectors as part of it, and giant film shows. So that's all in one theater. So most times they're separated, but sometimes, like ours here in Milwaukee, they're all part of one theater.
I noticed, too, on your site that there are quite a number of astronomy clubs here in the greater Milwaukee area. Yes. It sounds like there's great interest in the night sky.
There is. Those astronomy clubs are great to work with. They help us out with events such as eclipses and, for example, the Mercury transit back in May. We had them here. We do a lot of events here because we're public and easy to access, but we help them out for some of their events too by guest lecturing and things like that. So they're all they're fun to work with, great people, as always, as astronomy clubs across the world always are.
Now, Milwaukee is a major city, so I was walking around a little last night and wasn't seeing a whole lot. You've got the light pollution like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But are there good stargazing sites here in the state?
There are. There's a state park in Door County that is applying for an IDA, dark sky site.
The park is Newport State Park, which is up near the tip of the Door County Peninsula, a piece of land that juts out between Lake Michigan and Green Bay. It's about 90 miles north-northeast of the city of Green Bay. Park programming includes Universe in the Park presentations by University of Wisconsin astronomy students. The application for Dark Sky Park recognition is pending.
So I hope they get it. That would be a great boon. But yeah, typically like any metro area, we tell our planetarium audiences, yes, take the drive, 40, 50 miles, get away from the streetlights. It's a tall order, but do it.
Yeah.
Because it's worth it.
Boy, we have one of those dark sky parks in Washington, the Golden Dale Observatory.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And really, it's kind of on the north end of one of the biggest chunks of good night sky left in the U.S.
Okay.
From there all the way through central eastern Oregon is pretty dark and
okay.
A small population.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a treasure to have in the community for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Further north we go. South isn't good for us, of course. Chicago. And most people have a boat and go out in the middle of Lake Michigan. It's not too easy, but... Yeah, we encourage people. Planetarium skies are nice, but they obviously do not hold a candle to the real sky. And we want people to get out there under the real sky.
Yeah. Similar vein, I was lucky enough to attend the Astronomical League conference when it was in Chicago about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay, sure.
And was really excited to get to tour Yerkes Observatory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
as far
that
as that.
Cool.
Yeah,
I love that place. I think they started to do some more public outreach there. They usually only open it to the public on a few Saturdays.
Yeah, it was occasional. The first time I was actually on a business trip down in that area, and I said, I've got to go over, and it's like, oh, no, it's only on a day or two a week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're doing a bit more, I think. I hope, anyways. Yeah, it's a beautiful building. Of course, the history there is, as you know, is fantastic, with Hubble and Einstein and Chandra, they all spent time there.
And at the time I got the tour, they were in the midst of a project of restoring and preserving a lot of the old plates that they still have around, and that was fascinating to look at some of those.
Yep.
I've been talking with folks all across the country about next summer's total solar eclipse.
Yes.
And while the path of totality doesn't come through Milwaukee or Wisconsin, it's cool to see that you're going to get people there to see it anyway.
Yeah, we got our hotel rooms booked as a lot planetariums or astronomers do. Of course, we're usually on the leading edge of all this and getting the public excited, and you do get that sort of blank look in people's eyes when you try to explain that they, quote, have to go see this, that it's a once-in-a-lifetime event, and it's difficult, but that's our goal, that's our job, and we got a trip, we got already a lot of people signed up, over 20 people. We're going to take 110 is all we're limiting our trip to, but it's we can't wait. I've been fortunate to see four of them, and I can't wait for this one because it's right in our backyard.
I've talked to so many people who say that I've seen four, I've seen eight, it just doesn't get old. Is that your experience also?
Yeah, it doesn't get old. I'm not the true, you have to talk to the true eclipse chasers who don't miss any. They amaze me. They either are rich or... They see the ones in, you know, Antarctica or where's that one up in Russia or Mongolia. But I'm fortunate to see four, and I would love to see them all, of course, but just can't swing it or afford it. And but this one's perfect. This will, I hope, reignite a little passion about eclipses in America, because it's been a long time. I mean, we sort of advertise. It's been the first one to sweep across America in 99 years, because the one in 79 was only a small portion of America got to see it. And this one, boy, what are they saying? It's going to be the highest viewed eclipse ever. And
yeah.
that's easily true. More people are going to see this solar eclipse than until 2024, maybe.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it's going to be a great eclipse. And it's going to be a little hectic, I imagine, on eclipse day with the travel. Be interesting to see if our new president, whoever it may be, will make exception for people to take off, because it's on a Monday.
Yeah. Interestingly, one of the first folks I talked to was Bob Baer down at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale.
Oh, the one, yeah, they're doing a lot of education down there.
Yeah, so, and they have two, of course. They're right in the middle of the cross between next year's and the 2024. Uh-huh. But there at Southern Illinois, it's the first day of classes.
Oh, is that? Oh, wow.
So I hope everyone cuts their 1 o'clock class and gets to see it.
I think their president, university president, provost, whatever, hopefully we'll make some exception.
I think they're definitely encouraging it. I think it's great, too, that a lot of museums and other educational-type organizations are really pushing this, because I remember there was a partial solar eclipse when I was in junior high, and they closed the blinds and had us under our desks so we wouldn't look at it and get blinded. I said, what? We missed a pretty good opportunity there. So.
And that's part of our task, too, is to promote the safety, of course, always, especially back here in Milwaukee where it's about 85%. There'll be some dimming, but if you don't know about it, you won't notice it.
Yeah.
You won't notice it. I've been through that amount of partial eclipse, and it's not really noticeable unless you're really keen
to what's going
around you. But yeah, safety is number one. Of course, we have to protect our eyes, but there are plenty of safe ways. And we'll have events out here for that. People are left
left behind. You know, it's interesting that how different communities are thinking about how to handle the crowds and not having any real notion for how many will show up.
There's just some articles starting to appear where they're trying to predict the amount of traffic. It's going to be hard because the media will pick up on it 2 weeks to 1 week before. But will that be enough time? The roads will be busy, as people try to find clear spots. How busy, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Our plan is to get up early and beat the traffic and find a site that looks good. So we plan on getting up. We'll have a couple sites predicted. We plan on getting up early, beat the traffic, get parked, and get ready. So we want to see all 3 hours, of course.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, that answers the questions I had for you, unless there's anything else you'd like to throw in for good measure.
No, just keep looking up. See that eclipse. I don't know what you're doing to get the message across. Yours is probably a similar drive for people in the Seattle area.
Yeah, 5 hours. Salem, Oregon is our closest, so probably about 4 hours to get down there.
Ours is 5 or 6 from Milwaukee here. So just see the eclipse, get away from the streetlights, and enjoy this incredible universe. It's definitely worth it.
We've been talking with Bob Bonneder, director of the Daniel M. Soriff National Geographic Dome Theater and Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum in Wisconsin. I had a marvelous visit there and recommend it enthusiastically if you find yourself in Milwaukee. You can learn about current exhibits, planetarium shows, schedules, and other information on the museum website, mpm.edu. That's it for this edition of the Seattle Astronomy Podcast. Keep up with day-to-day news on our blog, find astronomy events on our calendar, and check out our store for recommendations for astronomy books, gear, software, and gadgets. It's all at seattleastronomy.com. The Seattle Astronomy Podcast is copyright 2016 by Seattle Astronomy. Our theme music is Aboard the Alien Craft from the album Symphony for Spaceman by Steve Combs and Delta Is. It's on freemusicarchive.org and is used under a Creative Commons attribution license. I'm Greg Scheiderer, wishing you clear skies. Thanks for listening.